The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. It is a great Monday. We have a fun show today. We have Dave Pasch. Dave Pasch, of course, with ESPN and ABC, voice the Cardinals. And he does so many different things. He has a couple of NBA games this week, one of them being the Suns. And we will get into where the Suns are from Dave Pasch's view. Also, he just wrapped up the college football playoff and how it's structured, and also the Super Bowl matchup with Dave Pasch, and then Jake Plummer. So I want to do a business of sports. I've been wanting to do a business of sports with Jake Plummer. He recently got into a pickleball league, buying into it. And he, of course, has his health and wellness company, Get Umbo, that involves mushrooms. And it's a very misunderstood industry. I have a ringing in my ears, okay, from wearing this little earpiece right here, okay? I have a ringing in my ears from doing that for 40 years. I have tried everything. I tried that, and the ringing is gone. So it's just my own personal thing. And I've been wanting to know how he put the deal together, as I think a lot of you that take this content in are saying, I hate doing what I do. I wish I could go do what they're doing. And when you hear the stories of athletes or owners and how they made it, if you want to call owning a franchise or being a professional athlete, making it, it's much more than just going to the gym and training or hiring a recruiting service or any of that stuff. And a lot of that stuff's a waste of money and a waste of time. So Jake was kind enough to chop it up with me on that. We also talked about the Super Bowl matchup. That is coming up here momentarily. I actually taped Jake because he had to work at the farm today, which I think is pretty cool. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that's Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. Yesterday, it was 70 degrees, and so I did what God intended, and that was golfed. But I watched the first quarter of the Eagles and Commanders, and then that is why God created a DVR or Sirius XM or any way that I can keep track of the game. I don't need to sit there and watch live and in person. I just need to be able to watch so I can talk to you about it and my thoughts. And my thoughts were exactly what we saw. I have to believe that the New York Giants fans and the ownership group just has to be doing this over and over and over and over. Philadelphia's defense is really good. I am not one of those that is fatigued by the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not. I like greatness. I think the sport needs villains. The late, great Kobe Bryant, yesterday was the five-year anniversary of the tragedy of him being killed along with his daughter. And there were a lot of tributes written yesterday about Kobe's departure. And when I saw Kobe Bryant walk through a tunnel, the angst from the crowd in Phoenix made the event 10 times better. If Patrick Mahomes walks out onto a football field, the angst if you're not a Chiefs fan. And the only thing about Chiefs fans, it kind of drives me crazy, is this whole Chiefs Kingdom nonsense. Like the whole world is revolving around the Chiefs. I guess if that's your world, it's not a world I'd want to live in. There's more to life than just sports, believe it or not. So it's a little much. It's a little much. I don't mind the Taylor Swift stuff with Travis Kelce. I really don't. And if you look at where and how the game went down with Buffalo yesterday afternoon and evening, and I was back in time to watch most of that and then watched it back this morning, can't there be any sort of technology somewhere out there that says, you know, that football that Josh Allen carried over the top and two referees that were blocked out by it, unless you're a Chiefs fan, if you're a Chiefs fan, it's like, well, you know, it really wasn't that call. It was a great call. You're right. It was horrendous. Do I think that the referees have an earpiece and a bat phone from Commissioner Goodell saying, Chiefs win, Chiefs win, Chiefs win? It's pretty interesting how there always seems to be something that goes the Chiefs' way, isn't it? But back in the day when Michael Jordan played, Michael Jordan could get away with a push-off. When Kobe Bryant played, Kobe Bryant could get away with things too. Greatness does allow that to happen. Not right, not fair in a lot of people's minds, but it happens. Strike zone's a little bit wider for a star player, superstar player. Just how it works in sports. So I'm not going to take away and denigrate and say, well, it's the referee's fault. That's a lazy, easy narrative. And I will talk with Dave Pasch about that here in a couple of minutes. I thought the Suns story was pretty interesting over the weekend, that Yusuf Nurkic is not speaking or hasn't spoken to his head coach in 2 months. And down in Miami, some of the beat writers have been writing that the Jimmy Butler was in a great frame of mind, ready for a great season, and all that changed after the Suns came down and played a game in Miami. You think players recruit players? It happens in seventh grade. Hey, man, come on over here. Let's play together on this team down at the boys' club. I'm already on a team. That's all right. Just come over here to our team. You know? And are we supposed to tolerate this sort of behavior? It is the entertainment industry. They can do what they want, or it's team sports. It is sending the wrong message. I tend to lean on the latter side, just the way that Jimmy Butler has gone about his business. Like, he shows up at, what was it? He showed up at a pickleball event or some event outdoors the other day while his team was on the road playing a game because he was suspended. It's kind of like, I'm just going to go be the biggest jerk I can be so you guys can move me out of here to where I want to go. And unfortunately, there are times where that stuff does fly over into the workplace, does fly over to other athletes saying, well, if he can do it, I can do it. Now, if Pat Riley doesn't hold his ground, and I respect the heck out of Pat Riley, somebody wrote this morning about Pat Riley, he trademarked the term three-peat when he was with the Lakers. He made a lot of money, with the Chiefs winning yesterday, because it's going to be used a lot. But Pat Riley, you don't want to, I would just be surprised if Pat Riley caved in. Unless, here's the thing, it's not caving in if it's such a good deal for your franchise to move forward. And it feels like with the Suns that if they don't do the right things here in the next week and a half, because clearly this is not a team that is built to win an NBA championship, if they don't do the right things in the next week, with the NBA trade deadline, then this team could be stuck in a bad spot for years to come, because this owner is showing a propensity that I'm just going to go make moves. I'm going to keep making moves until we get it right. And sometimes you just have to settle. Sometimes you just have to get your head kicked in. I wrote about this over the weekend. Oklahoma City, nice example. OKC has rebuilt, and they got their heads kicked in, and they came from the abyss. And the pain wasn't that long. It wasn't like the decade of decline that we suffered under the Robert Sarver regime. 10 years of just nonsense. So, there's one other story. I did try to watch golf on Saturday. Those of you that have watched through the years or on social, yeah, I like to golf. I'm not very good at it. I can shoot 90 and be just happy. I can. I can shoot 85 and be giddy. I have never broken 80. It's okay. I play by the rules. I keep score. I don't take a second shot. Stuff happens. Used to be I was at 100 and probably 115, went to 110, went to 100, went to 95. But I am somebody who is a stickler for pace of play. I cannot handle going out with a dude and they walk out to their ball, especially if it's car path only. They walk out to the ball, they look at the distance, and they walk back to their cart. And then they choose the club that they want. Then they take the time. And then they hit. And you're just like... So I'm watching Saturday, and there were no names on that leaderboard that captured my attention. None. And I'm sure some of you were in the same space as me. But it's golf. You keep it on. It's Torrey Pines, where I grew up. Beautiful course. On and on and on. It took the winning threesome 3 hours to play 9 holes. Three! It's just, and it was no names. There's no way people are sticking around for that. And I don't know, with the Open here next week, most people don't care that go to the Open about the golf. They don't. They have their side bets. They look at the girls. The girls look at the guys. They eat lots of food. Very few people go to the Open to watch golf. They call it the greatest show on grass. It is. It's nothing to do with golf. It's just a party, and there's going to be a great field, which is fine. It's also Super Bowl week. That's the way it should be. But if you're there to watch golf, 3 hours with three guys who you don't know who these guys are, that's not good. That's just not good for the sport. So spring training gets started next week, end of next week, and it's just a great time of year. With that said, Dave Pasch, Jake Plummer, up next. Stay with us. It's always good to chop it up with Dave Pasch for a few minutes. Valley resident, of course, ESPN and ABC play-by-play. There's a lot of ground to cover with Dave because he just went through the college football season. He saw the CFP firsthand. He went through the Cardinals season, saw that firsthand. And he's doing the NBA. He has Warriors OKC this week. And the way OKC is playing, they may be the best in the West. I don't know. Ask Dave. And he has the Suns this weekend. I'm curious to hear Dave's thoughts on the Suns so far. So good seeing you. And let's just roll right through with the basketball first and foremost, because that's this week. We'll get to the Super Bowl in a minute. OKC, am I wrong, right? What do you think?
Yeah, I've been really impressed, Brad. They certainly look like the best team in the West. We still have, obviously, a ways to go and the trade deadline coming up, so we'll see who improves their roster. But it's amazing what they've been able to do since the Paul George trade. I think a lot of people at the time thought, well, you know, it's going to take forever. And they get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in the trade, and he's an MVP candidate the last few years, and they've replenished the roster. They have just done an incredible job, probably as good as any we've seen in a long time at replenishing a roster that quickly. And then they go out and they get Hartenstein and Caruso to add to the young talent. And I had three of their games in the Mavericks series last year in the conference semis, and that was a step for them. You know, they had the best record in the West last year, but they had not been to the playoffs. Most of the guys on that roster hadn't been, so it was new. And, you know, they lost to Luke and Kyrie. It was Luke's first run to the finals, but he hadn't been that far. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, who they match up with in the playoffs. I think there are some teams that are dangerous because of the star power that they have. I think there's one star in Oklahoma City and a lot of other really good players. Does that impact them in the playoffs? You know, Denver was able to get through with one star and a lot of really good players and made it to all the way to the championship. So I think Oklahoma City is certainly good enough to do that. But I am curious what happens elsewhere before the deadline.
Yeah, I brought up Oklahoma City from this standpoint. It's the Suns are sitting here, Dave, and it's been a rough season to this point, obviously. And a tearing down of a franchise, there comes a point where an ownership group has to say, okay, it's just time to move on and rebuild, reload, retool, and make another run. OKC is like a blueprint. Yeah, they made a deal, and yeah, they landed an MVP. You got a hit on them. Where do you think the Suns are in terms of this is it? Maybe you should tear this thing down. Have you not seen them enough this year? You don't tear something down with Kevin Durant. Where are you at with the Suns?
I've had them twice. I had them opening night against the Clippers. They look great. That first 2 weeks of the season, they look great. Had them against the Knicks. I think they got hammered in that game, if I recall, by Brunson and everybody for the second straight year. And I do have a lot of Suns games coming up, so I hope that they're good because I've got to watch them a lot in person. It does feel like they're at a crossroads, Brad. It feels like they've got to do something here before the deadline. I think everybody assumes they will. And when you have – you don't want to waste – you know, it's kind of like Golden State. You don't want to waste the last years that you have of a Hall of Fame player. And for Kevin Durant, who knows how many more years he's got. So you've got to – you're all in. I mean, you got to do something. Clearly, Nurkic is on his way out. I think we know how the Suns feel about Bradley Beal. But obviously, he, as he put it, holds the cards. So, you know, can you find a place for him where he's comfortable, and can you get something in return that takes you to the next step? Because as they're assembled right now, it's not enough. We saw it last year in the playoffs. We've seen enough through half the season this year that they need to add a piece.
It's really interesting how they have, I would say, in the Ishbia era, Dave, it's just go out, let's make something happen. Let's go make something happen. Let's go make something happen. And so I'm curious on how they do go out with Nurkic because of what has been said. And with Beal saying, as you put it, holding all the cards, this owner does not seem like one is just going to sit back. This is not the decade of decline, as I like to put it, during the Sarver run. But Ishbia and how he's run the team so far makes you feel as though the next week is going to be busy.
I would think so. He's been really aggressive, to your point. And, you know, has he been over-aggressive? Some would say yes. It depends on who you ask in terms of some of the moves that they've made. And I would just, based on the trade to get, you know, the picks trade with Utah and all the Jimmy Butler discussion, usually when you hear all that, there's something cooking.
Sure.
And look, Jimmy Butler would help them. He would. And, you know, I know a lot of people are like, well, you know, there's these antics and look, this is the NBA. You're going to deal with this with, you know, everybody's got something. It's just, you know, you can't do it in the NFL. There's just too many guys on a roster. You can always move on from somebody. You know, it's not about two or three guys. In the NBA, it's about two or three guys usually on your roster. You know, if you don't have the best players, you're not going to win a series. Suns have two great players, two elite players, two top 10, 15 players in Booker and Durant. They've got Bradley Beal, who at one point was a really good scorer. And then you've got, you know, some serviceable guys. You got some young players. I mean, you need to add a defensive stopper who can also score in the playoffs. And Jimmy Butler's got a history of winning games in the playoffs by being a great two-way player. You need that. So if you've got to deal with the possibility of him in 3 years, if you sign him to extension, doing what he's doing to Miami, and you can get to a finals, it's worth it. He got Miami to a finals. He got Miami to two finals, actually, if you consider the bubble. So to me, that's worth it. And it's the NBA. It's just how it goes. And not everybody's going to be Steph Curry and come out and say, you know, he wants to stay in one place for his whole career. And, you know, he doesn't want, you know, the cupboard to be bare when he leaves. It's just most guys aren't that way. And that's okay. Again, I think most of us realize that is the world that we live in with pro basketball and the way it's structured through the CBA. If it was like that in the NFL, I think you'd see more of it in the NFL. But it's not. And so here we are.
Dave Pasch with us for a few minutes. Pivot over to the CFP. You just went through the college football playoff. A lot of discussion about how late it went into the NFL calendar, the ratings side of it, the teams were picked to be in it. What did you make out of the CFP from your college football play-by-play seat this year?
Yeah, and I did the Texas-Clemson game, which was a TNT game, even though it was on, you know, produced by all of us at ESPN, ABC, and it just aired on TNT. And, you know, so it was the first year for that. I think the rating was pretty good, but at the same time, it was a first-round game on campus. But, you know, people had to figure out where it was, that it wasn't on ESPN and it wasn't on CBS or Fox or NBC, which also carries college football games every week. It's on TNT, which in the regular season isn't carrying college football.
Right.
So that was new. You know, I think I love it. I think it's great. I hope they keep expanding, eventually get to 16. In my opinion, you can never have too much football. You know, I think they do need to make some tweaks. I would love to see, and I don't know if that it's possible, would love this because of the contracts with the Bulls. But taking the old New Year's Six Bowls and moving those quarterfinal games to campuses, I think would be ideal. You would keep, I think, fan interest. It's easier on fans to not have to travel. You know, I did on radio the Notre Dame-Penn State semifinal at the Orange Bowl. The place was packed. It was fantastic. I think people were surprised. Maybe the number wasn't a little higher in terms of ratings, but it's still really good. And look, the NFL is king, but college football is right there. And do they need to look at ways to maybe make things better? Yes. But I think it was a pretty good start for year one of the 12-team playoff.
If you eliminate the conference title games, that's been discussed, that gives you a week to start a little bit earlier. Do you need to start a little bit early? Do you start the season a little bit earlier in third week in August? Any of those move the needle for you?
I don't know that you need to start the season earlier. You could start, I mean, there are games, what we call week zero, but you know, there's still big games that weekend. You know, Florida State, Georgia Tech was in Ireland week zero this year. And I don't know that you need to start it earlier. I still like the conference championship games. I still think that there's a way to make them meaningful. I know Jim Phillips, the ACC commissioner, said that they're toying with the idea of maybe just having the regular season champs somehow get a bye, meaning they just don't play, mm-hmm. and that it's up to the committee whether to leave them in or not. I guess if you start doing that and you really diminish those conference championship games, then maybe there's an adjustment. There's got to be a way, though, where these games still mean something, because in college basketball, you look at that model, you know, the champions of their conference tournaments, they get the automatic bid, and sometimes that knocks another team out. I get it, though. You're dealing with a lot more teams than than 12. So I still think you have to make those games mean something. There's too much tradition there. Those are you've got money at stake, TV ratings at stake. Mm-hmm. I think there's a way to figure that out where those stay.
But the health of the college football game itself, you mentioned it earlier, there is this narrative they're never going to be able to overtake the big, bad NFL. I don't know that you need to. You know, there's never going to be marching bands on the field with the Eagles playing the Commanders. And there's something different about a Saturday game and how it's presented than a Sunday game, right?
Yeah, 100%. There is a uniqueness to college football. There is history, pageantry, rivalries. It's different. And look, the NFL has done a good job of, whether it's the NBA or college football, taking advantage of its status by scheduling games opposite college football playoff games. On Christmas Day on NBA, opposite you know, game that we would have. We had Boston-Philly Christmas Day. It actually got a really good rating. All the Christmas Day games rated really well this year, and there were two NFL games. Would the numbers have been higher if there weren't NFL? Maybe, but the ratings still were pretty good. And to your point, it's hard to beat the NFL, and you just have to live with the fact that they're going to expand their footprint, try to, you know, combat every window that, you know, you can come up with to try to find a college football or big NBA window.
Yeah, correct on that front. Dave Pasch with us. Before I get you out of here, Cardinal season. What'd you make of it? One, two, the discussion about Kyler and how far can he go with this organization?
Well, on the season overall, I think if we just kind of step back and expand the vision and look at big picture, you doubled your win total. You went from 4-8. You took another step, and it was a big rebuild. For Monty Asenfort and Jonathan Gannon last year to overhaul the roster, overhaul the coaching staff, the culture, the way of doing things. And so I think when you look at Washington and what they did and how quickly things got turned around and what Houston did the previous year, yeah, that's possible. It didn't happen, but you did take a step in the right direction. To answer your other question on Kyler, I think we all – and I'm sure he would tell you this too. I mean, he's got to play better. He's got to be better. Yep. He's paid to be better. He's one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. So, and I presume 2025 will be a big year for him. We've seen, you know, Washington improved its roster around, you know, the quarterback. It wasn't just a quarterback, but they don't do what they did this past year without Jaden Daniels. Houston doesn't do what it did a year ago without C.J. Stroud. Mm-hmm. You need that guy. And we saw glimpses of that player. There needs to be consistency. I think that's pretty obvious.
The one other thing I'll get you out of here, and that is the Super Bowl matchup, and I guess the Chiefs is a sub-question. You're not worn out, are you? Or are you, Dave? Are you worn out with the narrative of, man, here we go again, or the referees know what to do and the commissioner wants to have Kansas City there at every game? We're in this discussion nonstop, it feels like, where there's more talk about the Zebras than there is the game itself. So it's a rant on me on that front, one, just coming off of what happened yesterday in the KC Buffalo game with the spot. But two, it's the matchup itself.
Well, if you're a, I think you want to watch the best players and you want to watch the best teams. And these are probably the two best teams right now. Mm-hmm. There are other moments in that game yesterday for Buffalo that if things go differently, I mean, it sounds like a cliche, but it didn't come down to that spot. If different things happen in the game, and Patrick Mahomes is the best player, and he's the best football player I've ever seen. I felt that a few years ago, even before this started, when they won their first Super Bowl. And it goes back to our conversation on the last, you know, a minute ago about having that guy at that position.
Yep.
It's good enough to get you over the top. And Josh Allen's a great player. Buffalo has a great roster, but they're not there. They're just, they can't beat them in the playoffs. And yeah, I mean, are there things we can do, whether it's, you know, the slide rule, or, you know, how to figure out maybe taking advantage of technology to fix any sort of issues there could be with a spot? Sure, there's always ways to improve the game, but the game's in a great place. You've got these incredible players, and I can't wait to see Patrick Mahomes against that Philly defense.
Yeah, I think the number that I saw on Josh Allen, it's against Kansas City, 13 touchdowns, one pick, over 1,800 yards. Defense has given up 36 points per game when those two teams meet. So can only do so much. There's going to be some quarterbacks when it goes into the Hall of Fame that will be like Dan Marino. I never won a Super Bowl because I ran into Tom Brady or I ran into Patrick Mahomes. That's the way it goes. Safe travels this week. I always appreciate chopping it up with you on so many fronts. You have got OKC and Golden State and the Suns and the Warriors as well with Dave Pasch from ESPN and ABC. Thanks.
All right, Brad. Thank you.
All right, Jake Plummer with us for a few minutes. Always good to catch up with Jake. In fact, I was so excited that he was coming on today, I had to pull this off the shelf.
Nice.
I didn't even fit it right, you know. Look at that. Look at that bad
signs.
Boy.
There we go, man.
Yeah, back in the day.
It took me forever to stitch sign my autograph in there, too, and I had to take all those and stitch them by hand. That was crazy.
You did this?
Yeah. I was a...
I don't know.
No. Time, no. I know how to sew a little bit, but I can't stitch quite like that. That's pretty nice.
So here's the thing on Jake. This is going to be a lot of business because I'm always interested to see how life after goes for players. The window to play is 8, 10, 12, sometimes 20 years, but very seldom. And Jake has morphed into a businessman. You just last week, I'll get into the Super Bowl matchup and all that stuff, but just last week I'm reading that you are now part of an ownership group in the sport of pickleball. True or false?
That's true. These things come my way through, I guess, just having the ability to be myself, be authentic, and meet people. I get a lot of opportunities through just that, and having a good friend that introduces me to one of their good friends. You know, Tim Gates is a guy I know down in the Valley, and a lot of people know Gator. A lot of people know Gator. ASU, Sun Devil through and through from Minnesota, a little hockey player, great guy. He knows so many people. He connected me to John Schaefer, who also another ASU guy, Rhino Sport Courts, a guy who's done very well in the Valley, does a lot of good with the Good Sport Foundation. We've teamed up with him and another friend, Joe Castor, who you probably know from Arizona Cardinal days, to put on a pickleball event. And I got to meet through that Charles Darling, who owns Proton Sports, which is started off with softball bats and sporting equipment, and now has morphed into pickleball. and they have an opportunity to buy this team, and he wanted me to be a part of it. So what am I part of? A professional pickleball team. So I love pickleball. It's fun. I'm not serious like some of these guys going and practicing and hitting ball after ball after ball. My practice is when I play. I love to play. That's it. I love just the game and the camaraderie and just getting out and being active. And so with the opportunity to be a part of the Arizona Drive, I said, sure, yeah, let's do this. And I don't think it's not me coming in as a stakeholder and investing a bunch of money. It's more the name involved. Larry Fitzgerald is part of it. A lot of professional athletes are getting into this as they love the game. It keeps them active. It keeps them moving. It's good for their health and their wellness and their mental and physical, you know, health and wellness. And I'm that if I can get into that and be even more into that, I'm glad, because now I can attract some more guys to come, get off their butts, start moving, and hopefully realize that even though you're 50 and your body hurts, it's going to hurt if you sit on the couch and do nothing, or it's going to hurt if you come play some pickleball. So get your ass up and come play some pickleball with me.
Have you played against Fitz?
I haven't yet. Yeah. I haven't. I'm trying to get that going. I'd like to. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. Would you talk trash with him? Because I hear he talks trash in pickleball, Jake.
I don't talk a lot of trash in pickleball. You know, you get so many. I just like to play. I mean, I love the guys that hit it hard, and I try to get those wicked hard shots back. That's my goal. I really play. Anything I'm involved with now is less about winning and more about the enjoyment of it, and really the word play. When we say we play all these sports, yet there's 10-year-olds that are playing football, but they're over there on the field repping, and they're so pre-programmed, and they're almost robotic because they've been overcoached. I never had that growing up. I played. I had brothers that would challenge me, and I wanted to beat them, and all I tried to do was learn through experience and play as hard as I could. And now the competitive side has gone away. Winning or losing really does not matter anymore. I don't care if I lose. It's fun to win. I like to play all the time.
The only time you care about losing is if you're in an Uber at the Peach Bowl going to the airport and your football team just lost. I saw that side of you. You were not happy. So.
Yeah, I mean, that was more – I felt what the fans felt, you know, back in 96, 97 when we lost the Rose Bowl. You know, I felt like that didn't hit that tie to this team. Like I was emotionally involved in this team, and I wanted them to win. I wanted these kids to have success. I wanted the program to win and beat a Texas team. And then when they lost, it was just like, it's deflating. And so that's been fun for me in my post-playing days, is being just a fan of the game. You know, going to a football game, for me, I don't really want to escort. I don't want to go sit in suites. I want to get down in the fans and sit in the sections where the fans sat, because that's what I was growing up. Then I played the game, and then now I can't go to a game without having five escorts and going to these suites where people are eating fancy hors d'oeuvres and they smell really nice and they're all dressed up. I want to get down with the fans, and that's what I do. So, you know, I get involved. It passed, though. It passed. I mean, it was a great season. But, yeah, I wanted those guys to win. I felt for those kids, and I kind of flash back to, you know, what we were doing back in 97, how important it was to so many people, as such an outpouring of love came my way while I was out there in Atlanta, and memories of the time I was on the field. I didn't think about the fans. I was playing ball because I was playing. Again, I was playing to win and having fun.
Jake Plummer with us for a few minutes, all over the roadmap with me on things like business of sports. GetUmbo.com. GetUmbo.com. I am just going to say that I've used the product. I believe in the product. It's helped me with hearing. One of these earpieces just wiped me out. So GetUmbo.com, what is that business side all about for you?
You know, it's an exploration into the unknown, really. We feel like we're, as humans, we know everything and we're experts, and we find this organism that's been growing prolifically around the world since the beginning of time, and we want to make it our own. But for us and for GetUmbo, it's like, wow, we found this. It came to us, and people are creating a lot of products, but are they doing it with the right intentions? Are they doing it with quality, high potent, really highly potent, really good products. And so that's what we started Get Umbo or Umbo for, Umbo Functional Mushrooms. And there's a lot of confusion there because of mushrooms. And everybody, when you say mushrooms, not everybody, but most everybody thinks, oh man, I don't want to eat those mushrooms. Am I going to be okay? Yet you'll order a pizza with mushrooms on it and you don't think twice. Or you'll get a burger with some sauteed mushrooms and cheese and you don't even think about it. But when I bring you a mushroom because of, I guess maybe my past working in the cannabis industry with Charlotte's Web, which was, again, I was not a proponent. I was not pushing or telling people they should try marijuana, which is THC. I was talking about CBD, the cannabidiol, which is a hemp plant, which does not get you high. It's really good for you. And we've seen that now. We the Major League Baseball signed a deal with Charlotte's Web, and Champ Bailey just came out in GQ magazine talking about the benefits of cannabis when he was playing, and more athletes are coming forward. But that was 8 years ago for me. Right. I mean, that's been done and on its course. This is the next real, I think, chance for us as humans to assess your health and wellness, look at what you've been told or what you're being given, understand that it comes down to your diet, what you put in your body, how well you stay hydrated, your rest, and what you consume, not just through your mouth, but through your eyes, ears, nose. There's a lot of misconceptions about consumption. And, you know, anything you take in is going to bring either come in in joy or come in with guilt and regret, or come in with healing powers. And I think these organisms, through time eternal, all of the studies and research has been done in China, Japan, and overseas in Eastern medicine. And we're just catching up here in the Western culture and Western medicine. And to be able to bring this to the people and share this, as much as it's helped me with my body, how I feel, I don't have perfect days every single day. I mean, I've got bad days where I don't feel well. That's just normal as humans. You know, we're absorbing and consuming things that we don't get to choose when we're out in the environment. But these mushrooms seem to have helped with a lot of my inflammation. They help me with recovery post-workout or activity. They help me sleep. Like you said, it's helping you with your ear and your hearing. I mean, we don't know the possibilities yet, and that's why it's the journey into the unknown, and that's the fun part. We're figuring it out and doing studies as we go and reading more studies that are being done at big, big institutions, colleges around the country, and differentiating between the psychoactive psilocybin that has its healing powers also, to the functional daily, almost like eating vegetables again, where you're putting these things in your body every day. However you're consuming them, it's just good to put them in your body. They're great adaptogens. They're great for your immune system. They're great for your for inflammation. There's so many things these things do that it really starts to blow your mind once you get into it and check it out.
Getumbo.com if you want more from Jake and just learning more.
Yeah, we got a newsletter. If you sign up for our newsletter, we have an ebook, the Functional Mushroom Playbook. We kind of break it down in sports terms with the mushrooms, because it's very complicated. Because remember, Brad, there are mushrooms that can heal you, they can kill you, and they can take you on a crazy journey. So this is not child's play. This isn't just go out, grab a mushroom, start eating it. This is real deal. Get yourself educated, seek the knowledge, get curious, check it out. But the ebook is a good way to start. It gives you a little background on what we're providing at Get Umbo.
Okay, so from a business side, there's people taking this in right now from a business side of things. How do you get approached on something like Umbo and mushrooms? And what is your filter in learning about the product? Because you're Jake Plummer. You just cannot put your name out there on anything and everything. So take me through the business side, how you said, you know what, I'm all in.
Yeah, it's again, getting to know people, being open to make friendships and explore where those could go. One person I met at Charlotte's Web, Del Jolly, came in kind of late in the time when I was kind of phasing out of Charlotte's Web. As I was working on another business venture, Ready List Sports, a digital playbook that's still churning. We're still churning. We're pairing up with a group called Scorebreak, and there's bright things on the horizon there. But yeah, I met Dell, and I guess if you even back up past that, it's being curious and having kind-hearted, compassionate people that see a way to make a difference. And it goes back to Charlotte's Web with Ryan Kingsbury, who was working with the Realm of Caring and these mothers that had children with severe seizure disorders. And they were fighting against the law, against the white man's law, Capitol Hill, whatever, that this plant called hemp was lumped in with every other drug back in the 70s and made it illegal to administer to their children when it was helping them tremendously not have the seizures. It wasn't curing their seizures. It was just keeping them from having seizures. So he came and gave us all these products. We tried them, and I'm a firm believer. I don't just endorse something because they're paying me.
Right.
The money doesn't matter. I want to know if it works. And it worked. It helped me tremendously. So I got behind that with a bunch more athletes here in Denver. And that's how I ended up meeting Dale Jolly, as we made a difference. We brought people's minds. We opened them up to, wow, they're helping these big football guys feel better. We should check this out. And then they heard the story of these little children suffering. And once you hear that, you can't turn away. You got, if you have a child of your own, you're like, oh, wow, if there's something out there, I got to find it. If you have a child that's suffering from a malady or an illness. So, you know, fast forward to Dell and I having a conversation and him giving me some tinctures right before the pandemic, right when I met Rashad Evans, who is our other co-founder, MMA, UFC Hall of Famer, great guy, great human being that's actually got a fight coming up in April. He's still doing it and he's using the product and he's keeping that youthfulness about him. And so we paired up and I tried it and it was like, whoa, I'm feeling another level of inflammation going out of my body. I feel like the pandemic and COVID, and I didn't catch COVID. I wasn't sick once. You know, I may have had a headache or a little runny nose a day or two, one day, a day and a half, boom, I'm back in action right after that. It didn't knock me out. So again, we ventured into this. You know, my name, whatever it holds, however it carries, it's a way to bring awareness to stuff. And sure. I realized that and understand if it can bring awareness to something good, why not? You know, let's do this rather than bringing awareness to something bad. Like a lot of these athletes that have these humongous names and these huge platforms, yeah. And they're endorsing Sprite and Coca-Cola and Doritos and Taco Bell, and to hell with them. I think they're chumps that just want money. And in the long run, they're going to live with that. They're going to go to bed at night and go, damn, I just made half the population obese because they're drinking Pepsi and eating Taco Bell. And I don't even eat that stuff because it's disgusting. You know, they got to look at themselves in the mirror. So when I look in the mirror, I know that what I'm doing comes from my heart. It's a passion project. It makes me feel good to know that I'm helping someone like you, Brad, address something that's causing you distress or causing you, you know, issues. And if we can bring something that comes from nature, from NI, not AI, but NI, natural intelligence, then I'm all for this. And I got a great team around me. We're a small team right now. And the business side of things, you're always looking to grow. But I don't really care to grow like a hockey stick and blow up and get bought by some other company that then has their hands on what we're doing. We're looking to grow steadily and bring in the right people. People that are interested in their health and wellness journey. And maybe they have a child that has epilepsy, as we're finding that functional mushrooms are helping children with epilepsy not have seizures. And no one really hears this, yet they hear all the stuff that the new administration's doing and all these other things, and they're worried about Kansas City going to win the Super Bowl again and all this, when like real things are happening. And it's our job and my job as with my name, Jake Plummer, if I can put it behind something that can help move the human race, then I'm going to do that. And that's whether or not I make millions or I make 10 cents or I just get to have bottles of Umbo around here to take myself and give to my family. That's all the good, man.
And so that to put an exclamation point on this, when you and I are done with this, you're going to go work at the farm today, right?
Yeah, I got some little fun art projects going on out there. You know, we did a study using lion's mane and peptides with some former players to try and reverse cognitive decline and physical dysfunction. And so we did that just on our own dime, got 20 guys involved, had all the groups set up. So we're getting that data back. And I went and inoculated some footballs and some cleats and some sporting equipment to see if we could grow some mushrooms out of those, and mostly just to have fun, and then also to get some good pictures and visuals for the fact that we're a mushroom company that's kind of targeting and working into the field of athletics, maybe not just professional sports, but athletics. If you're athletic, try Umbo. What does that mean? Doesn't mean you have to be, a rock climber or a track athlete or a cyclist. It just means you got to be active mind, active body. If you're doing that daily, give these a chance, give these a shot and see if they might enhance that journey that you're on to keep pushing the bar a little higher, to keep working out, to keep feeling better, to push out your, thoughts on post or thoughts on old life, getting older and longevity. And we don't really look at getting old as something that's beautiful, and it can be. And that's really my journey, is to see how active and youthful I can remain until, I'm no longer here. And during that journey, meet some great people along the way.
All right. Before, a couple things will get you out of here. When you run into someone, what is your 30-second or less elevator pitch of what it is that you do? And have you ever been laughed off?
My kids laugh at me a lot because I'm always talking about mushrooms to damn near everybody we meet. I'm wearing my favorite reishi mushroom around my neck, so that starts a lot of conversations.
Sure.
People look at that and say, "What is that? That's really cool." And so if we start talking and we go down that road, my first thing is like, these things came to me from a dear friend. It's just knowledge that I'm a conduit to pass on to other people. If you're interested in your own health and wellness and taking that into your hands somewhat, then check these things out. I think people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. And when you feel that way and you just feel like, man, I don't have energy or I don't have the drive or I just keep getting sick or I'm worn down, you'll find this. And once you get curious and you open up your mind and then your ears open up and you hear about this, it's worth giving it a shot. It may not take whatever you're dealing with completely away. You may not take this and be like, "Oh my God, it cured my such and such."
Right.
But I guarantee that they're not going to harm you. They're not going to make you feel worse. And they're good for your overall longevity and preventative maintenance. We change the oil in our cars when we're supposed to. Sometimes we forget to take care of our own bodies and do the preventative maintenance, which is every day you got to do that work. You got to do it by drinking a lot of good, clean water and eating good food. And it's okay to have a donut and pizza once in a while. Let's not cheat ourselves from the beautiful, yummy, amazing things in the world, the culinary, brilliance that's out there, but just don't do it all the time and have some discretion on what you're doing to counter that. Are you working out? Are you walking? Are you biking? Are you consuming positive things? And so, yeah, the mushrooms are, maybe that's longer than 30 seconds, but usually it goes longer than 30 seconds. And that's when my kids start laughing me off. They're like, "Dad, every time we go somewhere, you start talking about mushrooms." I'm like, "Well, that's what I'm doing. That's me."
You're passionate about it. You're passionate about it.
Yeah.
And I mean, people should know you've had double hip replacement, right?
Just the labrum's reattached, not replaced. I have my hips operated on and surgically repaired just so I could avoid having a replacement.
So the thing is, a former NFL player, a lot of them I come across and they don't know what to do with their physical health, or they'll walk up to a flight of stairs and just say, "There's no way I can do that." And this is a bigger rant, and we don't have enough time today for this, but it's my belief that the NFL doesn't really care that much about their former players and should care much more. You've actually done a study with a group of former players. You alluded to it a little bit earlier. You have a minute or two on that?
When we're playing, as we watch the games and we saw these guys, like, at this point, they're so beat up and battered, it's amazing that they go out and play at the level they play at. And we're not allowed to show signs of weakness when we're wearing that number and representing that team. There's no weakness. You cannot show it. If you do, you're gone. And then when we get past our playing days and through that transitional period, and then you get into early, whatever, early old age, if you want to say 55, 60, even earlier than that for some of these guys.
Yep.
Now, in order to get that assistance, you have to show your weaknesses. You have to basically be weak and feeble and meager and unable to walk up a flight of stairs, and then they will give you assistance. And to me, that does not sound like something I want to go try to perpetuate, or that narrative just needs to get reversed. We were gladiator, badass human beings that could do stuff that people dream about. And we were doing it every weekend over and over and over for many, many seasons. Post-career, you're supposed to show how disabled you are. And I don't buy that. I'm not going to be disabled. And I think a lot of these guys don't need to be disabled. Yeah, they may need the money. They may need that assistance. But can we create a route to longevity and a route to health that the NFL still would be able to help me out with? Because they don't pay for any of my maintenance.
No.
I don't use pharmaceuticals. I don't get surgeries. I don't use much of their mental health things. I haven't used that yet. So then there's that money that they're giving to us that if you don't use it, it doesn't go into your bank account. It just goes away. So I have to pay for all of my maintenance and all the things I do. And I don't think that's right, because as along with a lot of these other guys I'm starting to bring into the fold, are shining examples of how you can approach your post-career and not be totally and permanently disabled in your 40s, because that's going to roll with you the rest of your life. And if that's what you want to go from being this badass that runs people over to, I am a weak and feeble, totally and permanently disabled NFL player, that's fine. But I know a lot of guys that are coming out of the fold that don't want that. They want to live life well into their 60s, 70s, 80s, maybe into their 90s, and not be following this narrative that the NFL puts down. And if we can find ways to heal the brain and the neuroplasticity in the brain, and I believe that a lot of these mushrooms help with not necessarily the brain only, but your overall body functionality, that can help your whole body heal, including your brain. And so that's my goal. That's what we're trying to do. And that's what I'm setting out to do. And people just keep coming into the fold to help me. It's a slow grind, but that's okay. As we saw, seeing a lot of athletes step up and talk about cannabis 8 years past when it first was really in the scene. You know, hopefully we don't wait 8 years to start talking about fungi and the healing powers of mushrooms for 8 years. Let's get in front of this now. I don't want to be the only person. I don't want to capitalize and have all the money, because it's not really about that. It's about your health and wellness and your peace of mind and finding joy.
All right, before I get you out of here.
Yeah, man.
By the way, who do you like in the Super Bowl, Jake?
Oh, man. You know, Buffalo. I'm so impressed by Kansas City. Mahomes he's amazing. I mean, Tom Brady did this sort of thing too, but in a different way. Mahomes is running around, he's scrambling, he's scoring touchdowns, he's winging it. I mean, he's so fun to watch. I don't dislike them. I'm not like, because a lot of people start to hate on the winners for some reason. They start to hate on them.
You're in Denver. You're in Denver.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I played for 4 years for Denver, right, but it doesn't mean I'm like got to hate all the teams they hate. I don't mind the Kansas City Chiefs. They're fun to watch. Their players play hard. They're well coached. I just wanted to see a different team. But since there isn't a different team, I've really been impressed watching Philly. You know, Jalen Hurts has shown me a lot. That game, he stepped up, made some phenomenal throws. I mean, he's squatting close to what Saquon Barkley squats. So, like, his running game is underrated. It's going to be a great matchup. I don't want to see Kansas City three-peat, and I don't know why I say that, just because if they do, who cares? It doesn't bother me. My day will go on, and I will go do what I'm doing. But it would be kind of cool. I think it'd be kind of cool to see Philadelphia win. I think that city is a great city to play ball in. Their fans are heart and soul, true blue. They're Eagles. They get after it. And I love playing in Philly. Had some big victories in Philly and some fun games. So I'm going to go with the Eagles. Mm. Somehow pulling out the win, you know, somehow they're going to make it happen. But otherwise, you know, congrats to those two teams to make it. I was really wanting to see Buffalo in the Super Bowl, but, you know, Josh Allen's going to have to go back to work again next year.
It's a tough deal. I'll let you go off that. Yeah. I appreciate you and your time as always, Jake. Thanks.
Hey, thank you, Brad. Peace, love, and mushrooms.
GetUmbo.com. More on Jake Plummer, and we're back after this timeout.